Once again for Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass Collie Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Honey, I'm in love with you. No one else will ever do. Make my every dream come true. Tell me that you love me too. Honey, let me hold your hand till I make you understand that you're mine forevermore. Honey, I'm in love with you. I'm forever building dreams round your pretty head, it seems. Do you want to spoil my schemes by saying you'll never be mine? I would make an ocean trip if I could kiss your dear sweet lips. I would walk a million miles to hear you say you love me too. I'm forever building dreams round your pretty head, it seems. Do you want to spoil my schemes by saying you'll never be mine? I would make an ocean trip if I could kiss your dear sweet lips. I would walk a million miles to hear you say you love me too. Well, hi there, friends. Yes, it's time again for our regular get-togethers. And these last few weeks, it's been my pleasure to be up in Canada with all of the Melody Ranch hands. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms like you've never been held before. I'll think of you each day, and then I'll dream the night away till you are in my arms once more. The stars up in the sky know the reason why I feel so blue when I'm away from you. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So, darling, please wait for me. The stars up in the sky know the reason why I feel so blue when I'm away from you. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So, darling, please wait for me.
That's pretty good.
Well, thank you, folks. You know, that song is always a favorite of mine, too. Well, hello there, Patrick, me boy.
Ah, Mr. Artery.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a problem have you got today?
Well, I'll tell you. I'd like to know what all this talk I've been hearing is about maple leaves since we've been in Canada. There's pictures of maple leaves, things named maple leaf this, maple leaf that. Why?
Well, the maple leaf is a Canadian symbol, Patrick.
Look now, Mr. Artery. When I was living in Oklahoma, I played a cymbal in a Dry Gulch marching band. It didn't look like no maple leaf.
Well, that's a different kind of a cymbal, Pat. You've heard of the famous Toronto Maple Leaf baseball team, haven't you?
Why, sure, yeah.
And the hockey team?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Say, have you ever played hockey?
Yes, I've played the game, yes, sir. I have played it.
Do you even know what hockey is?
Sure, yeah, it's just shinny with store-bought and sticks, that's all. But tell me, why are the Canadians supposed to be better hockey players than anybody else, Mr. Artery?
Well, I guess it's because they're natural-born skaters.
You know, I think I'd have been a natural-born skater myself, only I never had a chance.
Why not?
No ice.
I can see that you know a lot about ice.
Well, now, maybe I didn't at the start, but I got interested and I began learning everything I could about it.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. You know, Mr. Artery, it's one of the few things in the world that's all it's cracked up to be.
Well, I'll take your word for that, Patrick.
Yeah.
But how did you ever learn to ice skate in Oklahoma?
I took a correspondence course. Answering an ad in the Holstein Journal. It said, "Learn to skate with Arthur Tate."
But could you actually learn to skate by reading lessons?
Why, sure. Of course, now we had to go up to Chicago and pass the examination to get our diplomas. But,
did you pass the examination all right?
Like a breeze.
Oh.
You know the hardest thing about the examination, though?
What?
The ice.
But you have to be a good skater to play hockey anyplace.
Not the way we play down home. We marked off a hockey field in the pasture. You ought to have seen us slipping and sliding around there.
Now, wait just a minute, Patrick. How could you slip and slide without any ice?
Mr. Artery, you've been to Oklahoma. You know, there ain't a pasture down there that hadn't got an oil well or two overflowing on it. We slipped on the oil.
That's where that lake of oil is.
Yeah, that's it. We used to have some great games. Both teams always had a couple of real pretty girls as goalies.
Now, hold on.
Real good goalies, these girls was.
Now, in the first place, there's only one goalie on a hockey team. And in the second place, they don't have girl goalies on men's hockey teams.
You suit yourself. You play the game your way, I'll stick to mine. It's more fun. Whenever they wanted to make the game real exciting, though, they'd just send one of the girl goalies to the penalty box. That done it.
What's so exciting about that?
Well, the men on both teams started a big free-for-all trying to see who could get sent to the penalty box first. So long, Mr. Hardy.
So long, Patrick. Knowing you as I do, I think the Canadian game would be a lot more interesting to watch. And after that tall story of yours, I think that Cass County boys would be a lot better. How about it, fellas?
Well, come along, boys, and listen to my tale. I'll tell you all my troubles on the old Chisholm Trail. Cover-tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Cover-tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. I started up the trail October 23rd. Started up the trail with the two you heard. Cover-tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Cover-tie-eye, yippee-yippee-yay. I woke up one morning on the old Chisholm Trail, a rope in my hand and a cow by the tail. Come a tie, I yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Come a tie, I yippee-yippee-yay.
Stray in the herd, the boss said kill it.
Kill him on the rump with the handle of a skillet.
Come a tie, I yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Come a tie, I yippee-yippee-yay.
Cloudy in the west, looking like rain.
But darn those slickers in the wagon again.
Come a tie, I yippee-yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Come a tie, I yippee-yippee-yay.
Thank you, Cass County boys. Thanks very much.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown, because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down. They read the good book from Friday till Monday. That's how the weekend goes. I've got a dream house I'll build there one day with picket fence and rambling rose. I feel so welcome each time that I return that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live and love in my hometown.
I keep laughing like a clown.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live and love in my hometown. Who live and love in my hometown.
Well, thank you, friends. I'm glad you liked it. You know, Pat and I were walking past the Chateau Fond-Lac Hotel in Quebec the other day, and Pat let out a war whoop that startled me for just a minute. And then I saw what all the whooping was about. Horses. Yes, sir, there must have been about 50 horse-drawn Victorians waiting for our prospective passengers. But it wasn't the Victorias that impressed Patrick.
Doggone, Gene, I thought I'd seen just about every kind of horse-drawn rig on the face of the earth. But there's something new.
New? Where?
Right over there. About 15 of them lined up there.
I got some news for you, Patrick. Those aren't anything new in the way of horse-drawn rigs. They happen to be the first pleasure rig that was ever used in North America.
Well, it looks like some of the first ones are still running. What do you call them?
Caliche.
Oh, sounds like a French word.
Well, you don't have to be much of a detective to figure that one out. Over 90% of the people in the city of Quebec speak French.
Hey, I'd kind of like to learn more about them rigs. Do you think you can speak enough French to handle a little chin-in with one of the drivers?
Well, I have a hunch the drivers can speak plenty of English to satisfy you, Patrick. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Hello. You wish for a ride in the calèche, perhaps? Visits to all the great historical sites. The plains of Abraham, where Montcalm fell. The great shrines, the glorious cathedral.
Well, thanks, but we haven't got time right now. That's a mighty nice horse you've got there.
Oh, Murphy's all right. Like me, he works hard, but I treat him like one of the family. The finest oats, fresh straw. Oh, the fresh straw I have to buy.
Well, how'd you ever happen to name your horse Murphy?
This is the name he had when I bought him. The one does not alter names, monsieur. Pardon me, the clothes you wear, you are perhaps cowboys?
Yes, sir. Cowboys from the biggest state in the United States, Texas.
I have seen the maps. It's quite big, true. Only 6 of Canada's 10 provinces are larger.
Huh? Is he bluffing, Gene?
No, he's not, Pat. Oh. You know, Canada's a big country. There's still plenty of wilderness in this country to be explored.
True, monsieur. True. But not as in the old days, when I was running my trap line out of Hudson Bay. There were few real settlers in the north then. Traders, yes. Prospectors, a few. But in the winter, it was one wild country, I tell you.
What kind of trapping did you do?
The beaver, the muskrat, the marten, anything else that was around. I had a team of husky dogs, tin, for my sling. They were hard like the nails, not fat like Murphy here. This Irish horse would not have lasted out one winter.
Well, in Texas, we stake our lives on our horses a lot of times, too. And there you were, way up north, doing the same thing. Why did you quit trapping?
It's a great experience to live alone, by one's wits, monsieur, to get acquainted with le bon Dieu and with oneself. But man was not meant to live alone. Now I have a little home, 4 children, a good wife.
I bet you had some real adventures, though, when you were trapping, didn't you?
Adventures? It did not seem like adventure in those days, when poachers stole the furs from my traps. The winter, when I ran out of food and was marooned in my cabin with a broken leg. That did not seem like an adventure either at the time. But now, yes. I suppose I had many adventures.
Well, I'll be doggone, Gene. It's just like us. When we get into a tight spot, it don't seem like much fun till the fireworks is over.
The North Country is no longer like it was when I was there. The bush pilots have changed all that. It is well that they have them.
You don't mean to say that they're getting to be settlements of people up there?
Communities, roads, schools, yes. The bush pilots have been to this country what the Pony Express and later the railroads were to your Wild West.
That's right, Pat. But getting back to you, monsieur. Do you do much business with your Koresh and Murphy?
I do a fine business. Taxi cabs. Who wants to ride in a sputtering racing machine that spouts vile fumes? The horse is the noblest of all beasts. When you get into my so neat calèche and Murphy trots over the cobblestones, you see Quebec as it is, not as a blur.
What do you do in the winter?
Oh, then I hitch Murphy to my sleigh. The sleigh bells on his harness make him think he's young again. I bundle the customers into big fur rugs, and we all have a great time. Those fur rugs, they are marvelous for the young people.
How do you mean?
When a young man and a pretty girl are bundled into a big fur rug, they cannot be formal with each other.
Oh.
With the sleigh bells ringing, the moonlight on the snow, the crisp air, a young couple in my sleigh, and my own memories of when I was courting my Marie. Oh, life is good.
Oh, oui. Well, maybe the weather's a little bit different, but I imagine that the general effect is just about the same, like our hay rides down home.
Good, yes, good. We are both fortunate, monsieur, to have lived in pioneer country. Life is more dangerous, true, but it has more zest, more Spartan.
Well, that's right. And homesteaders, wherever you find them, are special breed. You know, the fellow who went west to start a ranch is the same kind of a person is the trapper and the prospectors and the homesteaders up here. He was willing to bet on himself, and he wasn't afraid of long odds against him either.
Well, this town of Quebec sure don't look like any pioneer city to me. It looks like it's been here a long time.
Well, if you think this city has not seen adventure, you're badly mistaken, monsieur. Jacques Cartier first came here in 1535.
That's right.
His settlement was wiped out by the Indians. Only 23 years later, Quebec was founded. There began a series of sieges that lasted 150 years. One big battle after another. Finally, in 1759, the British won Canada from France.
Well, then I suppose the town is gradually getting less French, huh?
Oh, no. Oh, I'll let you on a little secret, monsieur. Back in 1925, when the city of Quebec had 100,000 people in it, there were 14,000 who spoke English. By 1950, Quebec had grown to 250,000. And do you know how many of those 250,000 were English-speaking people?
How many?
14,000.
Oh.
This, monsieur, is still Jean-Baptiste town.
Same town it was 100 years ago, huh?
In some ways, yes, monsieur. In others, no. It's still a tourist paradise, for which I am thankful, being in the business I'm in. But there is a new Quebec, too. A Quebec that has brought in many new industries.
What language do they speak in the factories here?
Oh, but certainement French. In your country, do not the Texans speak the dialect of Texas?
Well, some of the Easterners claim that we speak a little bit different from them, but we say we speak Texas language.
Well, one who lacks understanding would say that the people of Quebec are as different from the people of Texas as two peoples could be. There is a difference in language, and yet we say about the same thing. There is a difference in climate, and yet both are lands of the pioneer, lands of the big spaces. Both were settled by adventurers. The horse played an important part in developing both areas, and so did the iron rails. Monsieur, you know, we have much in common.
Yes, that's right. I guess people are pretty much the same everywhere, if you'll only take the trouble to understand them.
We are agreed. But, monsieur, if you will permit me, to get the true feeling of Quebec, one should take a ride in my calèche. Murphy would be honored.
Well, what do you say, Pat?
Well, I'm game if you are.
Then come on, let's go. This rig's a far cry from the Pony Express, but I think we're going to enjoy it.
Get up, Murphy.
Well, Pat and I did enjoy the ride and the calèche, too. As a matter of fact, we enjoyed everything about our visit in Quebec. And when Murphy trotted down to the lower town in Quebec, he led us into a street called Sous-le-Cap. They claim it's the narrowest street in North America, and I can believe it. As a matter of fact, Buttram, in one of his off moments, thought it looked like a canyon just west of Melody Ranch. The front of the buildings are the same color as the walls of the canyon, and of course, that reminded me of the first time that I got a look at the wonderful surroundings that have long since become Melody Ranch. You know, there's a fine old Western classic that describes the picture better than I can. When evening chores are over at our ranch house on the plains, and all I've got to do is lay around, I saddle up my pony and ride off down the trail to watch the desert sun go down. Riding down the canyon to watch the sun go down, a picture that no artist ever could paint. White-faced cattle lowing on the mountainside, I hear a coyote whining for its mate. Cactus plants are blooming, sagebrush everywhere, granite spires are standing all around. I tell you, folks, it's heaven to be riding down the trail when the desert sun goes down.
Cactus plants are blooming, sagebrush everywhere,
heaven to be riding down the trail when the desert sun goes down. Well, folks, it's time to say so long to our guests and invite everyone to be with us again for another Melody Ranch powwow over these same radio stations. Until then, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us.
America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry, will be back this way next week. And he'll bring along Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. For an exciting and entertaining half hour, be sure you're listening next time I say, it's time for Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.